Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promoting for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's Thursday. It is the Luke and Pete Show. I'm Pete Donaldson. I'm joined by Luke Moore once again. I'm enjoying the maximum taste, no sugar kick of a Pepsi Max Ginger. Actually, Luke, you weren't privy to this information, but producer Nat, before you came on the call, she admitted that her dad had to change the brand of Pepsi, or rather Diet Coke, in the fridge because otherwise she would drink upwards of, I think, 25 cans a day.
Wow.
Or a ridiculous amount. More than five.
Matt, do you want to unmute yourself very quickly and just tell us, would you say one number, how many cans of Diet Coke you used to drink a day?
Yeah. What's your record?
24.
24.
In one day?
One for every hour.
That is outrageous. That is absolutely unbelievable. She's tiny as well.
24.
Absolutely tiny.
Four. Well, because of the Diet Coke, innit? But I mean, imagine she was up every hour of that day drinking Diet Coke. I mean, lordy.
So there's a big controversy, isn't there, around, well, it's not actually really a controversy, but people say that aspartame, which is, I think, the flavouring of diet, not the flavouring, but, you know, the kind of sugar substitute, sweetener in Diet Coke, like, is potentially hazardous. And a lot of people have come out and said, no, it's the most tested kind of ingredient in the world, effectively, because it's done so much rigorous testing on it, because so many people have it and it's fine. But I always think that I sometimes will have maybe two Pepsi Max cherries in a day, and I think to myself,
excessive.
You probably want to you want to avoid that tomorrow. First of all, I didn't have you down as a Pepsi Max Ginger kind of guy, Pete. That is rogue for you. I never would have matched you to that soft drink.
Last aisle in Waitrose, just looking around, what's new, what's happening, what's popping in the world of Pepsi Max. I've got Diet Coke Lime and Pepsi Max Ginger. Don't mind it, not too bad, but you can't drink more than 23 in a day. I'll tell you what.
I don't even know how it's possible. No. I just don't know how it's possible.
So how have you been, Luke? How's this week been? Have you been winning?
Yeah.
Have you been given, as the kids say, a big W or a big fat L?
I don't know. I certainly have not been indulging in a big fat L.
No.
But on Monday, I said to you that I tweaked a muscle in me back. It's still quite sore today. And I think it does go to show how when you get older, it takes you such a long time to recover. Like, and that's kind of one of the misunderstood aspects of professional athletes, particularly when they play in the Premier League or whatever. It's not necessarily that they can't do the things they did before.
Yeah.
It's that it takes them a lot longer to recover.
Right.
And I find now that if I get a little injury here or there, it takes me a long time to bounce back from it, baby.
Well, look, you're still my Premier League goal-scoring superstar hero, mate. Don't worry about it.
Thanks. That's so good of you. Have you got any ailments at the moment, Peter? You're normally quite good for an ailment.
Yeah, I'm usually pretty good. No, I recooked some curry from Saturday on the Monday and ate that. And that's been two days now of just repeating on me and giving me terrible acidity.
You won't learn your lesson, though, will you?
I won't learn a lesson because I am, when I'm ordering the food, I'm very generous with my money. But when I am... when I finish the meal, I always want to get another meal out of it. And rice does not keep very well. You've got to be careful with it.
No.
You've got to be careful with it.
There's a bit of a schism in our household about this because I've always been quite reticent to try and reheat rice. I was always quite frightened of it because I know that it can grow bacteria on it and it can be bad for you and make you sick. And my wife, I think, either wasn't aware of that or because she knows about science, was like, oh, yeah, but it's fine if you just do this. And she's always been quite blasé about it. And so I've ended up like reheating rice more often than I did before. And I've actually been all right. So
it's fine as long as you absolutely destroy it. I mean, it's just that I think if you stick a sick hot rice in a cold fridge, I think that's problematic. And then you start eating it then. Or if you just don't cook your rice through again properly. It's not particularly nice anyway. As long as it's like covered in oil, you're usually all right. Because obviously the oil heats up in a microwave or in a wok. But yeah, you've just got to make sure you cook it right through. None of your 2 minutes and done. Because like when we have like ready meals and stuff, because some of them are ready in 2 or 3 minutes, you think that's how much reheating a meal is. It's not. You're cracking into your sixes, your sevens. Even if you...
Yeah, I sometimes...
Consider putting on a half
I
power.
I completely agree. Yeah. First of all, the microwave I've got in my house has been one of the most unbelievable purchases I've ever done. It cost me £30 in 2014 and it's still going. Yeah. Right. And I think you're right. I think when I'm reheating a meal, I'm getting into 5 minutes plus, 5 minutes plus probably.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm telling you cannot mess around with that sort of thing. Give it a stir, rotate it 45 degrees and then get back into it. Get back into
Any-
it.
Any more kitchen tips for people, Pete? I mean, let's just set the scene, right? It's a lovely evening. You've had a nice day at work. Yeah, you think, right, I want to sit down and make myself a meal. You've got some ingredients. You're going to knock something together. What's your top kitchen tips?
If you have a squash that you want to cut into, just be careful with a knife. You need a really sharp knife or a serrated one just to get through the flesh because the flesh is incredibly tough.
Yeah. I often find it absolutely remarkable how easy potatoes are to cut into raw when compared to their humble cousin, the sweet potato. Very difficult to cut into a sweet potato, but actually incredibly easy to cut into your normal common or garden potato.
Yeah.
Have you got a garden for growing veg in your new house, by the way?
I think we've got like a little flower bed sort of thing. Because I bought this little kind of roll of carrots. You know, like those little... those little cap guns you used to get when you were a kid, and you get like a little roll of caps.
What were they called, caps, by the way?
That's because it's like a blasting cap, isn't it? I guess. Because you'd have them on the paper roll, it'd taste a bit like gunpowder, sort of spicy and hot. And then there's the plastic rotating ones. But the cardboard ones, I bought this in the garden centre because I like to go to the garden centre every weekend because there's literally fuck all else to do. And... the similar sort of thing in each little kind of little hole, there's like a little carrot seed in there, and you put it in the ground, stick some water on it, and then in a few months you got some carrots. But thing is, I've decided to move house, so what am I going to do? Sow my seed and then have some other fucking loser reap the benefits of my delicious sweet carrots? Don't think
you can't,
so.
You can't sow your seed into someone else's flower bed and then reap the benefits. You've been told about that before. I can't imagine you in a garden centre.
I like it. I like the smells. I've become very obsessed with one of these days I'm going to buy one of those suet balls you give to a budgie. I'm just going to sink my teeth into it because they always
I'm
look
absolutely
so
stunned you haven't fucking done that already.
Oh, mate. Suet.
You just talked about eating caps for cap guns.
Suet mixed with seeds and just getting a ball of it, the ones that the birds eat. And just go, oh, that would be...
Answer me this honestly.
What? Have you ever done it?
Answer me this honestly. Have you tasted either of the dogs that you've got access to's food?
No, I haven't actually. Though we do have the same stomach medicine as discussed.
Yeah. Nat did tried her dog's food and she ended up eating 24 packets of it. Peter, what were you doing when you were putting caps from a cap gun in your mouth? That's question number one. Yeah. And question number, well, actually, an extension to that question, a question 1B, if you will, is there anything from your childhood that you didn't put in your fucking mouth? And question two is, did you have the lesser spotted but arguably more exciting late 80s, early 90s kids toy, the famed potato gun?
Never had one myself, though I endured the sweet kiss of many a pellet to the back of my head.
Yeah, same.
but I think it was one of those kind of products that you would see, but it always seemed a bit naughty. And you always sort of think, well, that is so, that's too much power for one person. I would hate to have one of those. Like, it might turn me into crime or something. I don't know.
You're taking it back to medieval times.
Exactly, exactly.
Loads of potatoes in.
No, never had that. What was the other question? Is there anything I've not put in my mouth when I was a kid? What is the thing that people have if they've got to experience stuff with their mouth? It's like a kind of fetish or a sexual kind of gratification. Or right. certainly just
but it's not sexual for you, is it? You're just doing it.
I'm just, every pen I've ever had has been in my mouth. Every kind of, there's not a single pen that I've not tasted the hot ink that's kind of spilled out the top when I've been chewing on my pen too much. I'm always snapping stuff, pulling stuff around. I'm surprised I've not choked on stuff. Terrible, terrible behavior.
Do you remember like first day back at school after Christmas where some wag would get a cartridge pen?
Right, yeah.
Do you remember like a fountain pen with cartridges? And they'd get it like in their stocking for Christmas or whatever. And they'd also get like a box of ink cartridges. Mm. And then they'd bring them to school. And in break or lunchtime, you'd end up stamping on them so you could fire the ink further.
So messy.
Did you ever used to do that?
So unbelievably messy. And if it gets on your shirt, it's game over for that shirt, quite frankly. You cannot get that ink out.
True.
Terrible. It was like it was like nowadays you sort of see those laughing gas ether canisters around town. Back then, it was just inky plastic tubes.
Did everyone draw on your shirt on your final day of school?
Yeah, they did, yeah. I don't remember where that is.
Is that a thing? Because you were a bit of a heartthrob at school, weren't you?
Yeah, I was pretty popular. I had my times here and there. But I moved schools consistently, didn't I? So, just, you know, more just spread my love around the Hartlepool.
I can remember, do you know what? Going back to the old potato gun chat, I can remember once. So my sister is 5 years younger than me. And what was I doing? I think I was playing on the Super Nintendo in my bedroom. Mm. And my sister had her own bedroom. My sister was sitting there watching me play Super Nintendo. And I think I got frustrated by a game or something. And I swore. And as I swore, my mum walked past and was like, "What are you doing? You can't say that in front of your sister. You're grounded." She grounded me for a week, right?
Right.
It's kind of fair enough looking back on it. It's probably poor form by me, but I wasn't in control of my emotions. And anyway, so the problem was, I was thinking, oh yeah, weak grounding. It feels like the end of the world when you're a kid and it feels like it's going to last for a long time. Mm. But my bedroom overlooked the back alleyway where all the kids used to hang out and play. And the next day, like sod's law, there was a massive potato gun fight. And it just looked like the best thing ever. And I negotiated with my mum that actually the bottom of our garden, which had a shed on it, which I could climb up the side of and sit on the top of the shed, that was technically still our property.
Yeah.
So I was still staying in.
Sniper.
And I sat on the shed and watched it. And but I wasn't allowed to partake. And it was honestly one of the most depressing moments of my childhood.
Did you even? You said you didn't ever have a potato gun.
So no, I wasn't allowed any guns as a kid. My parents wouldn't let me have them.
That's probably a good shout. I mean, bare minimum, if you're just going to, you know, draw a line in the sand. I don't think that's a bad one, to be fair.
No, and it's funny because my parents were like quite hippie, a bit young to be actual proper hippies, but they were quite hippie-ish. And one of the first dates they went on was a campaign for nuclear disarmament march in the 70s.
Oh, nuclear power, no thanks.
Yeah, and my mum always used to say that. And then it turned out my dad actually told me that he only actually went because my mum was going. He didn't give a shit. <Yeah. laughs> Which is like classic male behaviour, right? what would you, Pete, what political march would you go on to woo a lady? What's your cutoff point?
Look, there is nothing more exhilarating in the sphere of political discourse than me in the 90s, actually, 80s, when was the poll tax rise? Swinging around a scaffolding pole that's been left out in Charing Cross Street, trying to hit a policeman. I mean, I mean, imagine how much lady action one might get.
You'd have been about 4 years old, so I'm not sure. It might be a bit weird, wouldn't it? What's that kid doing? Where's his parents?
Why has he got a scaffolding pole? Because that's how the Poldex Riot started, didn't it? Because it was some builders had just stupidly left a lot of scaffolding poles down and they just kicked off. Beautiful.
I can, when you said that, because of how old you were, that was in 1990, right? So right. You'd have been like 8 or 9.
Yeah, I thought it was on the cusp.
I just imagined you with a pair of welly boots on, a t-shirt and nothing else, and being like 8 years old, just running it. Like, you know, like, it's like back in the day, and it was just exactly the same where I grew up, because we grew up in like a poor neighborhood. You'd get a lot of kids who would have like shorts on,
yeah,
and nothing else.
Yeah, they'd never
or a t-shirt
pants,
on and a pair of pants and yeah. nothing else.
Because because kids, like, I always find like pictures of myself when I was a kid, and I'd spend a lot of my time just in my pants. Yeah. Kids' nipples are weird.
Like, oh, here we go. Like, where's this come from?
They're just kind of like I remember sort of like a picture of me when I was a kid. I'm going, I just had no nipples, but there were nipples there, but they were like ghost yeah. nipples. They were like,
right.
It was like, you know, when you play.
How many of them?
just the normal two. But kids' nipples yeah. are weird. And like, I'm sure parents who have kids must be like, I'm not going to mention it. I'm outside of it, so I can't yeah. mention it. But they must be like, our kids got nipples, but no nipples. It's weird.
I hope our kid grows out of that kind of thing.
Yeah. It's like when you play like Daytona Racing, and then the next time you go around, it shows you what your car did last lap. It's they're there. It's your car, but it's see-through. It's like weird. That's what my nipples looked like when I was a kid. Kids just have a crack at nipples, but they just don't manage them. It's weird. What's that about?
And you're quite famous in our company for your nipples now,
yeah.
weirdly.
Yeah, yeah. No, they're ridiculous. They're you can see them through. If I was wearing like armor back in the day, like plate metal armor, you could see yeah. my nip-nips through that. It'd be like Batman Forever. It would just
be disgusting. Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I can remember when, speaking of like kids and then like seeing them and not saying anything like about that kind of thing. Well, I can remember when my niece was born and she's 5 now. She's the most beautiful human being in the world. I love her to bits. But because I've never been a dad and because right. it's never really come up, no one really briefed me on what babies look like when they're born. And they look fucking mental. They look mental. I'm telling you now, if you're listening to this and you've never witnessed an actual newborn baby, they look mad. Right, little sort of peek behind the curtain for you. I'm telling you now, when your family or your friends are posting a picture of a quote unquote newborn baby on Instagram or something, it's been cleaned up. Okay. Yeah. They look right. like an alien when they're first born. And yeah. I was one of the first people there in my family when my niece was born. And they let me hold her, and I was sitting there thinking, I don't know what to say. Like,
was it dry? But, was it because babies obviously?
But the heads are funny shape. Yeah. The heads are funny shape. They've got blotches all over them. You know, they've just gone through quite a traumatic kind of entrance into the world, if you will.
God,
so,
yeah.
Like, it's a mad thing. I never noticed the nipples thing. I'll be totally honest with you.
Right.
As soon as I get off this call, this recording, I'll give my mum a text. She'll send me a picture or two of me, and I'll see. I'll have a look, and I'll let you know. The reason I'm saying that is because I was astonishingly blonde when I was a kid.
Right.
Like proper white hair as a kid. So I imagine I might have something to offer in that nipples department, Pete.
Maybe I'll chuck over a picture that my dad sent over earlier today of my mum when she was a little baby. But my God, she looks bloody haunted. And I'm showing you it.
Oh, she looks sweet.
She looks absolutely, my little Welsh mum, absolutely bloody haunted. Yeah.
Oh, by the way, speaking of that, you notice there's been a bit of a groundswell of support, apparently. I was reading the other day for Welsh independence, and as a man of Welsh extraction,
oh, I'd love that.
Very proud of
yes,
that.
Yes, please. Let's rejoin Europe. Thank you. Yeah. Let me have my passport back. Thank you.
Have you thought about perhaps heading over to Wales and joining some kind of mining-based close vocal harmony male choir?
That'd be lovely. I don't have bad pipes, I don't think.
No, you're all right. You're all right. Yeah. I think if you could also, you could also volunteer your nipples as some kind of mining device as well.
Extraction device. HS2. Yeah. I could have helped Swampy out. And his friends at Euston Station who've dug a little, amazing that they did that. So I walked past that little display I'm just calling it, outside.
What are you
Euston.
Talking about? I don't even know what you're talking about.
So in Euston, you know Euston Square? Like, you know, in front of Euston Station, there's like a little square.
Yeah.
The station used to come out a bit more, and then it was redesigned in the 70s.
There's always a load of flags and stuff there.
Yeah, yeah. So they're saying no to, I think, the Crossrail, maybe HS2. I'm not really sure what's what. Anyway, they're saying right. no to whatever it is. And they've set up a little kind of
just no.
Camp.
What? Just... no, no, just no.
They've set up a rather impressive camp. It's the sort of thing, you know, back in the day, you'd see outside on Parliament Square. But on Euston Square, they've got this massive, like, little village of tents. And it was at a time when it was, like, absolutely freezing. So incredible that they managed to do this. But they've managed to dig tunnels. Like, they've dug tunnels underneath Euston. Like tiny little one-man tunnels up and down. Swampy's been down there because he's obviously protest royalty. But yeah, they've made these little tunnels that they sort of crawl through. Incredible. Incredible bit of engineering.
What's Swampy been doing then since the 90s? Because, in the 90s, he was the big one to stop. It was the A30, I think.
Right.
Which is down in the West Country.
Yeah.
And that's when he became... that's when he became kind of famous, but he has been on board the HS2 thing. And the reason it's interesting is because those listening who are a bit younger, they probably won't remember him, but he was kind of the first famous environmentalist of that kind, really.
Yeah.
He's not kind of softened in his older age.
No, you'd expect him to be in like Big Brother or something, wouldn't you? You expect him to be.
Yeah. No, he's doing it for the honor, not the glory. And apparently in 2006, he was living in a yurt.
So, well, there you go. I mean, yurt is better than a tent, isn't it? I mean, yurt's a fancy tent, isn't it, really? Good on him,
though. Apparently a conservative minister said that they'd like to bury him in concrete at one point. So.
Strong.
Tell us what you really think, for goodness sake. So he's now, as we speak, he is digging under Euston Square, is he?
Well, I don't know whether he's taking the glory of the tunnel, the tunnel diggers, but yeah, they've managed to sort of tunnel underneath the road. Incredible. Like, just incredible that they've managed to do that with such cold ground in such terrible conditions.
Yeah.
So, you know, more power to them, I say.
The joke always used to be, like, you hope he doesn't get heart problems because he'll almost certainly refuse a bypass.
Good. That works.
That
works.
That was a dad joke back in the day.
I reckon
he's probably still got resonance now.
I reckon he probably eats very healthily, so he probably won't need one.
Yeah. The joke's on those dads who themselves all do have heart problems, where he's very healthy. Probably a vegetarian diet, and he's outside all the time, so he's doing fine.
Damn right.
Yeah. Shall we have a little break?
Yeah.
And then when we come back, we'll check our blood pressure, and then we'll come back and we'll do an email or two. How about that?
All right, then.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
and receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Stakhanov's award-winning football mockumentary, The Offensive, is available to listen to now. After securing Premier League survival last season, Ashwood City have a new boss.
The new manager, Sven Goran Eriksson.
I am delighted to be the new head coach at Ashwood City Football Club.
But unfortunately, the same old chief executive.
Oh, fuckity, fuck. Stupid comments from an ex-player chanting make Ashwood great again. Big fucking deal. You know, if he thinks that any of those empty words have had even the slightest impact on Patrick Nolan, MBE, then he is dreaming. Stupid, big idiot, twat, fucking wank.
Follow Ashwood City on and off the pitch every Premier League match week.
I can't even get easy peelers in my local M&S at the moment, Sven, let alone a fullback from Real Sociedad.
I just have a list of players I'd like to bring into your squad.
Okay, well, let me know when you have a list of players you'd like to bring out of the squad.
Described by The Guardian as a must-listen for football fans.
We lied about the corona test result. We isolated our two informed players to stop them playing for England. And now we've asked Man City Football Club to bribe the Premier League on our behalf.
I didn't actually ask them to. I asked if they wanted to.
It's the same fucking thing.
Search The Offensive on your favourite podcast player and listen now.
We're back with the Luke and Pete Show. It is a Thursday. We're staying out of trouble, staying in school and eating our greens, just like Swampy, quite frankly.
If you hear any problems with the recording, it will just be that one of Pete's nipples has pressed the stop button or something by accident.
Yeah, we did have trouble earlier on because Talk just every time, I don't know what happens in Talk at 5 o'clock, but somebody just goes for dinner and just presses the, like spills his dinner or spills his, you know, chicken jalfrezi all over the bank of buttons, and my connection invariably goes down.
Is that how it works, Pete?
That's how it works, yeah. That's how it works.
Yeah. You were having a running battle with someone at the internet service provider of choice, weren't you, at some point?
Yeah. The good people at a certain, I think at one point nationalised company.
Have you given up on that then? Have you admitted defeat?
They've assured me that something will be taking place within a month, and that promise was given to me about a month and a half ago. So
get yourself down to Euston Square, mate.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to fit the broadband the day before I leave for a new house, which will really grind my gears, Luke. It really will.
I hope that happens. I think I speak on behalf of our listenership when I say I hope that happens.
Very, very upsetting.
So hello at lukeandpeteshow.com is the email address. At lukeandpeteshow is us on Instagram and Twitter. And before I get into an email, I'm going to do a couple of battery brands because people send them in. They want to know if they've discovered a new player entering the game. I think we've got three here. I think two of them are new players, Peter. I'm going to run them past you and see what you think. So first of all, Lizzie, thank you to Lizzie. Hello to you. Sent in a Kung Fu Max battery, which she found in a torch. I don't think that's a new player. I've looked at the picture. No, I think it's a. I think it's one we've seen before, sadly. So right. Good luck to you, Lizzie. But I don't think you've made it. And I think you need to get both votes from both of us to get in.
Okay,
so
fair.
That's Lizzie's. Daniel nice. Warrior has sent in. What were you going to say, Peter?
I was just proud that we had someone listening who regularly uses C batteries rather than the AAAs and stuff. It's just nice to see. My motorized robotic bin ticks C or D batteries, and sometimes hard to find.
Hang on a minute. Motorized robotic bin.
I approach. It opens its vast mouth and says, get it all in here. That's what it says.
Get busy.
Get straight down the gullet, it shouts. It demands my filth.
Seriously, what does it do? Does it move around?
No, it just opens. It just opens when I turn up. There's actually two. One for recycling, one not for recycling.
So you just walk up to it, it opens its lid?
Yeah. Pops its lid.
Fucking hell. That's very good. All right, excellent. So it's pretty hygienic as well. You have to touch it.
Exactly.
All right, anyway. Good news, Lizzie. Your battery would work. Yeah, exactly. Good news, Lizzie. Your battery will work in Pete's robotic bin.
Yeah.
But it is not a new player, sadly. Daniel Warrior, I think, has submitted a new player to enter the game. It's an Arcas Zinc Cola.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds German, doesn't it? What does cola mean?
Yeah.
Zinc. I mean,
sounds
zinc.
Very Teutonic.
Zinc's probably zinc, isn't it? Col.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Col. Mignon. Underneath it says Mignon, AA.
For now, we're going to give you that as a new player status, Daniel Warrior. Well done to you.
Well done,
and
mate.
Then Phil Ha has sent in a brand of batteries amazingly titled President's Choice.
Oh, lovely. And especially...
Sounds North Korean.
Yeah, what I like about it is that they're 9-volters as well. It's a double pack of 9-volters, President's Choice. Are they going in the president's smoke alarm? I don't know.
Yeah. The only thing I could think of for a 9-volter these days is a smoke alarm.
Yeah.
And am I right in saying the 9-volter is when you're a school kid, you could put your tongue on it and it'd give you a little shock?
Correct, yeah, because the both terminals are on one side. You can do it on any battery, but you just got to be creative with your mouth.
Oh, because you've got to go, so you'd have to put maybe one side on each inside of each cheek or something to create a circuit.
The thing that you're seeing quite a lot in modern remote controls is that the, you know, when back in the day, and for the longest amount of time, this is so boring, but it's never stopped us before, literally ever. Mm. The plus and minus terminals, the positive and negative terminals, are next to each other. So the batteries have to go one way, and then the next one has to go upside down.
Right, yeah.
Modern remote controls, and I'm looking at you, the Amazon stick. They have rejigged the components, rejigged the insides, and the batteries go in both the same side up. It is an incredible thing to have happened to electronics.
Well, what's this I've got on my hand here, Peter?
What's that? Is that a Samsung? I can't really see.
It's a Sony remote control.
Remote control. Get
Let's
it
test
open.
It. I'm gonna pop it.
I'm gonna Sony say it's battery- an up and a downer. It's an up
Sony
and a downer.
Batteries in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is an up and down reversal.
Downer,
yeah.
See, no, this is in the last 3 or 4 years. They've decided to go, you know what, guys, this is crazy. This is just making things difficult for people with, I don't know, accessibility problems, vision problems. Why don't we just sort of rejig the wiring inside and just go with this? So this is ridiculous.
Why have they done that in the first place? Why is it reversed in the first place?
I don't really know. It's probably easier to wire up if it's in serial or parallel. I don't really know how batteries work, to be honest, but it's probably how you wire a battery up with the other one to create one big kind of cell.
So it's just easier, maybe.
Just easier, mate.
And I don't think that is boring for this show. I think if you suggested that as like the opening story on the Football Ramble, I'll be like, well, I can't really do that. But on this show, I want this show to be like
Kids
a reflection of life.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just want it to be a reflection of life. I want it to be the ultimate companion show where we just chat about our lives. They're the same as your lives. Mm. Sometimes they're exciting. Sometimes they're boring. But we shouldn't shy away from that.
No.
And so I think the crucial and, in fact, tremendously exciting development of the changing around of batteries from opposites to parallel uniformity is something that we should talk about. And we have. So well done us. So anyway, in summary, that's the battery section. Lizzie, it's a no from us, I'm afraid, but thank you very much. Daniel and Phil, congratulations. You've joined the club. For those of you who want to send suggested new battery players to enter our game, it is hello@lukeandpeacher.com or at Luke and Pete Show on Twitter and Instagram. Now, I've got an email here, and I kind of want us to do it I also want to do a one. I just want to recap a bit of dad behavior from Monday, actually. So maybe I'll do that first.
Okay.
If that's okay. This is from Dave, because this is actually a nice little, it's a nice little slant on the dad behavior theme. So Dave says, your recent discussion around classic dad behavior reminded me not of my own father, but my best friend's father. He's called Kirk. Now, first of all, a dad called Kirk is
strong
great.
M.
That is great.
I like it.
He said, he said he's a bit of a legend among our group of mates. You know, dedicated commitment to the 1980s moustache that persists to this day. And in my mind, I'm thinking Tom Selleck straight away. I could write an essay on the man, but I'll keep it brief with a few key highlights. And then Dave has included three bullet points about Kirk. The first one is endless purchasing of old cars to repair for months while seemingly never making any improvements to them at all. That is great.
Yeah.
Very good. Mm-hmm. Then he's got one here about a car parking spot that is actually a public space in front of his house, even though he had his own driveway, which had three cars in it. But he wouldn't let anyone park there, and he actually brainwashed his entire family to support him on that. And so anytime you tried to park there when you visited, you'd get in trouble, which is great. Right. I mean, that's probably not dad behavior. That's more kind of territorial, psychotic behavior. but anyway, the best one is this, right? This is great, Pete. You like this. So Kirk apparently would always wear socks with sandals, even on holiday, right? Mm. And there's a glorious example of this where Kirk beat his son, who's obviously Dave's best friend, who was 18 at the time, while wearing socks and sandals in a bitterly contested tennis match in the south of France in 2008.
The scene is so typically middle class. I'm very
You'd be fuming. You'd
that.
Be fuming though, Donnie, wouldn't you? Be honest.
Oh yeah, you're trying your best and you've got your best, I don't know, Slazenger shoes on or something, or your Mike Adela Premier League or something.
Pete isn't that competitive. He doesn't give a shit. So if you get too competitive, he just gets switched off. He just wants to leave.
Yeah.
But I'm really competitive. So I think if it were me and I had to play Kirk, and I'm shit at tennis, but if I had to play Kirk and he had socks and sandals on and he was like 30 years older than me and he beat me, I'd be pissed off. I'm telling you that now. So that is classic. Absolute classic.
Enjoyable.
Do that one from Jasper in the emails.
All
just
right,
been dropped
then.
In.
I'll
it's
do
a good
this one.
One
then. Yeah, it is. It's beautiful. Jasper, hello, boys. I've just discovered that they name all of the gritting trucks in Scotland, and I thought it was a bit of you. we've seen this before, but I don't think we've mentioned it on the show before. In Scotland, there are several gritting trucks in major cities, but also out in the Hebrides and beyond. And they've each got amazing names. And you can watch these kind of trucks. They're all GPS fitted. And you can watch these trucks hightail it around Scotland. And they're always on the move. And they've all got amazing names. I don't know what the website is that you can find it. But just Google Trunk Road Gritter
Traffic
Tracker.
Traffic Scotland, I think.
Traffic Scotland's Trunk Road Gritter Tracker. And you've just basically got a load of little gritting lorries, little icons going around a big map of Scotland. And there are some amazing names. The Ice Destroyer. Sir Andy Flurry. Our Chip. Our Chili, Our Woolly, William Wallace.
I love Sweet Child of Brine. Salt Disney, another one.
Lord Caldermot and You're a Blizzard, Harry.
Very nice. License to Chill's good, and so is Sled Zeppelin.
Yeah, I like the simpler ones with Gritty Gonzalez. I think those ones are kind of taking liberties a little bit, bringing things like sleds and stuff, but I think, gritting on, were you?
It's a Scottish sense of humour, which we enjoy.
Yeah.
Yeah, very nice. I think we should end on that. Let's wrap on that, because that is a great way to end. And thank you very much for everyone for listening to this unplanned nonsense again. That's been Thursday. We will be back on Monday, of course, with another couple of episodes. Between now and then, we're off to drink as many cans of Diet Coke as we can. But until then, email us hello@lukeandpeachshow.com. We are at Luke and Pete Show on Instagram and Twitter. There's loads of interesting stuff. You heard on Monday, you got to vote on your favorite dad behaviors. So get over to our Instagram for more behind the scenes and extra content, because let's be honest, there's nothing else to do at the moment. Until then, until Monday, it's a goodbye from me. And it's a goodbye from Pete Dawson as well.
Ta-ta.
This was is a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.